the Lord positioned that day as birthday or day of birth out of Joshua 5:9 when he said, this day I roll away the reproach. Now that was, I'm just going to kind of put my birthday onto that calendar. That was the 10th day of the month, 10th day of the first month. They were celebrating Passover. 4 days later, they would celebrate Passover on the 14th day. But they had passed over, as we know. They stood in Gilgal, and they all were circumcised that day. And then he decreed, this day I roll away the reproach. That's birthday, say, day of birth. So 4 days later, that was actually Friday, which day of birth, just some of my dates into those time frames. Some interesting things happened last week. And so I want to share that with you, and then we'll move forward. So he said on the 14th day, which 4 days later, that would have been last Tuesday, and according to the time frame, they had kept the Passover. Several other things happen. He's getting ready for Jericho. Jericho is, that's where we want. We've been in Jericho for 7 years in the spirit. When you walk in the kingdom, when you walk in the realm that is to come, there's a time the earth will be commanded to follow. If you're out front, signs, miracles, wonders, manifestation, demonstrate, they're going to follow you. Amen? The issue with us is we're not in the proper position, and so there's nothing to follow. You're still waiting for God to do something instead of moving out where he's already done it. Last week, around the time it said, after the Passover, which is 2 days, it says the morrow, that'd be Tuesday and Wednesday, that'd be Thursday, he said they ate of the fruit of the promised land. They ate of the plains of Jericho, some of the grains that were left, because everyone shut up in Jericho. They went in afraid. Isn't it be nice for the enemy to be afraid at once? And then it said the day after that, which would have been Friday, our time, 17th day or our 7th day, it said that they ate no more, the manna stopped. And they ate from that point from the promised land. Amen? So something happened this last week as a sign, a couple of things. Anna, she's been in a literal court case for 5 years with her father's inheritance. He moved to Iceland, and I don't want to get into the details, but they actually released that and signed the release and agreement on Friday. Isn't that awesome? So the promised land, what was the promised land? It was the land that came from Abraham, their fathers. It's not what we expected, but that doesn't matter. It was a sign because God released it that day. I mean, think about 5 years and he releases on the very day. He says that the manna has ceased. You'll eat today from the inheritance, the promised land. So that was a pretty big sign. We were pretty excited about that. Pastor Chuck was preaching, and I was kind of going over these timelines. Notice they were keeping the Passover, they were eating lamb, and I'm like, man, I wish I would have eaten lamb during this time. And the Lord said, what did you eat 3 times when you were on vacation? Lamb. I ate lamb 3 times. I went to this French restaurant 3 different times. Even after I'd eaten, I went back over there and I ate their lamb. So it's like, yes, I'm fulfilling scripture. Hallelujah. I was eating lamb for all of you. Hallelujah. These are fun things to think about. God is confirming where we are. Amen. Now we're full on in Jericho now. I mean, we're in Gilgal now. We're already in. We're literally where we've been standing for 7 years in the spirit. We're about to walk in because Cody's like, it's pretty remarkable that we passed over 7 years ago. We're supposed to walk over. And that's when all the revelation of Jericho came and the whole revelation of the plumb line came. And that was like 7 years ago. He gave all that revelation. And now we've been standing in this all that time, literally almost daily. It's incredible. This living word. And now all these circumstances in the earth are following this word. The Lord comes in and makes the earth bow down. And there's some pretty big things we're standing in. There's some pretty large mountains. And forever I was coming down, standing in front of the mountain, and the Lord gave us this recently, that amazing revelation. He said, before the face of Zerubbabel, the mountain's made low. He goes, you want to stand before my face, or you want to stand before the face of the enemy? Which one? God can make a shift. And when he makes a shift in your understanding, I just shifted and said, why am I going to stand in front of a mountain he already put down? And as soon as I started returning in the earth where I make the decrees, I said, I'm not even going to address this mountain. I'm going to address you as level ground. And I started seeing it as level ground. You know what? all that resistance shattered. All that resistance just broke automatically because I wasn't standing in the face of resistance. I was standing in the face of revelation. The face of him who already finished and completed and did. Amen. I want to share with this word because when they get there, when God gave them the promise of this land, he gave them the promise and he said, I give you cities and homes you just not build. I'm going to give you wells to drink you did not dig. I'm going to give you vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. Now, that just seems like ho-hum-hum, but listen, they worked for everything all their life. That's all they ever did. And they didn't work for themselves, they worked for someone else. They tilled someone else's field, they lived in someone else's home, and they drank from someone else's well, and they did all this all their life. It was engraven into their character, into the nature of who they were, that they were subservient to the Egyptians. That's who they were, and that's what God was rolling away. He was shattering that. He said, listen, I'm making you an inheritor. Because God said, I make you an inheritor. Because sometimes the hardest thing to get out, even though you're out of Egypt, is get Egypt out of you. God can take you out of Egypt, but as long as Egypt lives inside of you, you're still bound. So God can deliver you from a circumstance. They have this thing about people, I don't know if you ever studied people with a lottery that win the lottery. So many of them return back to the poverty they came out of. You know why? Because it's hard to get that person outside. I know you're saying, try me, try me. But it's hard to get the person inside. If that person doesn't change, it's just going to rewrite the circumstance. What has to shift is within. That's why God was saying, even he brought them through the Jordan. There's so many remarkable things about that Jordan. You know, the Lord, he was baptized right in that area with John, in the same area they crossed over at. That Jordan, those waters stood up. He rolled them back all the way, Joshua 3, to the city of Adam. What was he signifying? And the waters literally stood up into the city of Adam. People saw that. Water standing up was like a fountain. That's why he said he turned the rock into standing fountain. That was when he did it. And then the waters that were there at Jericho, all those waters went into the Dead Sea, and the entire Jordan from Adam to the Dead Sea had dried up during that time while they crossed over. Just amazing. But what he was signifying is this, that everything you inherited, not just from Egypt, but from Adam, we all were born with this thing we call the law of sin and death. It was born into our nature. Whether you like it or not, you can be a merry goody two-shoes. It doesn't matter. It's still there. It's inherited in the nature. And God rolled those waters because he's shattering that old thing. He's shattering the dominion of what you inherited from Adam to give you a new day. Amen? And then all the water signifying it flowed into the Dead Sea. That's he's washing all things away. In other words, he was separating everything with them. They get over, they go through this Jordan. Do you know why the Lord actually had to be baptized by John? Do you know why he had to be baptized there? He said he must fulfill all righteousness. Why the Holy Spirit fell upon him there? Because he was introducing a new covenant. And to introduce a new covenant, the previous covenant had to die. Legally had to die. He said they had to die. And so it would be impossible for him to introduce a new covenant while he's still married to Israel, because he's going to ask Israel to marry a new covenant while they're still in that. So he had to legally die before he died. And that's what that Jordan was about. When John submerged him in those waters, it was like he was being submerged in the same waters the Israelites were. He was rolling it all back. He had to legally die because when he came out, he was raised. It was like he was likened being raised from the dead. The Spirit of God fell upon him. He could introduce the new covenant. He was bound to an oath at that point because he legally died that day. So he could introduce a brand new covenant that day. Isn't that awesome? Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. And so it's just amazing that the Lord, he was baptized in that very same place. So when they get over and then he says, I roll away, he circumcises again. I don't know if you know this, but when we come out of the Jordan, we always go up in to the right hand of God and we go through this circumcision of the eye of our heart. Been doing it for years. It was almost like fulfilling that verse without even knowing it. And the reason is because God needs to change what you see. See, in the kingdom, you have to see the Father's will from a finished position as done. You have to change the dynamic of what you're looking at. Well, the Lord said, I can only do what I see my Father doing. The Father worketh hitherto. See that I have given. Say, see that I have given. You have to see that He's given you these things. All these years He's telling these Israelites they're coming into a land of promise. I've already given it to you. And He takes them in the wilderness with nothing to look at. He takes them in the wilderness for nothing to do. Every day you wake up to the same circumstance. How many of you ever feel like life is mundane? I mean, sometimes you just seem like everything is like the same thing. Why does God do that? Why does He put you, and it seems like you're going around the same thing all the time, same scenery, same circumstance. You wake up, go to bed, everything's the same. What's He saying? He gives you that because He wants you to look at what He said. So He gives them nothing to look at but dirt and sand, except stars in the heaven, sand of the seashore, because they knew their father Abraham. So He puts the stars at night and the sand during the day, and He speaks to them of a promise. He marches them out in the wilderness with nothing to do, nothing to look at, nothing to spend money on, nothing, say nothing, except keep His word. He was helping them. The Lord's a master at this, by the way. He's a master at creating a circumstance that enables you to keep His word, and He removes all the fray. He removes distraction. That the Lord has taken this body of believers, He chose to journey with a living word until it bursts out into the earth. But here there's a word. There's a living word here. It's alive. It's active. It moves. It's journeying. Those of you that pray and ascend the hill, Lord, you see it more clearly than others. You'll see this word if you're positioned with it. The reason it's so alive inside of me, and that's all I ever see, because this is all I ever do, is give myself to this word, because I can't do anything else. That's my call. But when we stay and keep it and ascend, we'll see more and more. Our eyes get open. We see. And as long as you see, you're going to have. When you stop seeing, that's the first stage of the enemy stealing everything from you. You stop seeing what God wants you to see. You must continue to look. Okay, so I want to share this verse today the Lord gave me out of Amos 9. You go to Amos 9, verse 11. Now this verse, I love this verse. When the Lord was getting me into His program of walking with Him in the realm that's done, He didn't just start there. He didn't start with the face of God. He started with a series called Time Habitation. That was an awesome series. He was teaching me how to inhabit where I was. And this is one of the great mysteries He opened here, the revelations, and I want to kind of share because it's fitting, because He's speaking of a specific time that we're actually entering into now in the earth. He's speaking of an operation that will be with His people. In Amos 9 verse 11, it said, in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that has fallen. It fell in the earth, but it didn't fall. As we all know, Jesus reassigned it into the heavenlies. He sits at the right hand of God. He sits in the tabernacle of David now. He sits in the house of David. His throne is the throne of David in the heavenlies. Acts 2 says it is. He said, in that day, I'm going to raise up the tabernacle. He's speaking in the earth. He's returning this tabernacle into the earth. And I'll close up the breaches thereof, and I'm going to raise up the ruins, and I'm going to build it as the days of old. See, days of old. He goes, once again, I'll shake the heavens and the earth, sea and the dry land. The treasures of all nations will come into my house. I'll fill my house with glory. He's speaking of this Latter-day house that's restored into the earth, which this little church with taco stand, well, it doesn't have a taco stand anymore, but this church, maybe we should have the return of the taco stand. But this church has such a profound calling for the birthing of this house. This is the word we carry. It is what God's doing here. It's so amazing. Even to this day, I'm just so amazed at what God's doing. And in verse 13, he said, "And behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman or the sower shall overtake or catch up with a reaper. And the treader of grapes will be caught by him that sows the seed." So the sower, the planter, the plowman, the worker, he's going to catch up to the reaper. And the mountains will drop, I'll come back to this in a minute, will drop down sweet wine. And the hills will melt. You see that? The mountains will drop the sweet wine. And I'll bring again, see here it is, the captivity of my people. See, we're coming out 70 years. This is all related to where we are right now. Absolute prophecy. "And they shall build the way cities and inhabit them." That's about coming back into the promised land. Praise God. "And they'll plant the vineyards and drink the wine, make the gardens, eat the fruit. And I'll plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled out." Glory to God. Now, speaking of Israel is also speaking of the church. We have an amazing part to play in the end times. But he says in the end times, when at the time that he's going to rebuild, there'll be a people that's going to overtake the reaper. There's going to be a people that the sower will overtake the reaper. And there's two ways to see this, and they both work. Way number one is the harvest is so great, they don't even have time to gather the harvest because the sowers are coming in. It's time to sow again. The plowers say, "Listen, we're not done reaping yet." And they said, "Yeah, but it's time for the next level." The reapers don't even have time to gather. That's one of them. The other way is the one God's training in, and this is the one I love. Is the plowman, what happens, or the sower, and this was so important, especially people come out of Egypt, because all they ever did was work for their provision. And God said, "I'm going to give you lands that are already, I'm going to give you." They built the Egyptians' homes that the Egyptians would live in. They dug the wells the Egyptians would drink from. They planted the vineyards. None of it was theirs. It belonged to somebody else. All their life they worked, labored, and toiled. And God said, "I'm going to freely give this to you." Can you imagine? He says that today. I mean, it's so much easier to rejoice with them because, yeah, glory for them, but he's saying that to you. You're living in a generation, you're going to freely inherit. We live under a system of mammon. Our whole financial system is mammon-based. The creation of new money requires a new debt. The whole system's run on debt. They created it that way. From Bretton Woods, they took us off the gold standard and they created the debt system. That's why it takes more dollars to pay for the same thing you were paying for 5 years ago. But now God's saying, "I want to change all this. I'm going to bring a generation that the sowers that are going to overtake the reapers. That you're not going to stand and sow and wait. I'm going to actually take you as the sower, and I'm going to take all your gift as a plower, a sower." Let's look at it in the realm of faith. In the realm of faith, we begin, we keep his word, we speak his word, and then one day we come to the end where we receive the inheritance. I did that one time for 11 months and actually broke the spirit of poverty. I literally spoke the word all day long for 11 months, didn't nonstop all day. And he shattered that spirit of poverty, but took 11 months. Now what he's saying is, "I'm going to take that same effort, but I'm going to place it into the place of the reaper, where you're going to do everything from a position of the reaper and not a position of the sower." In other words, I'm going to start you in the finish line. Instead of in the beginning where there's seed time and harvest, he said, "I'm going to remove the time of seed time and harvest. And I'm going to take the beginning and put it at the end and just plant the beginning in the end. And then you're going to speak from the end." That's what he's been teaching us to do. The generation that speaks the end from the beginning. You're going to stand and overtake the reaper. The sower will do all his sowing in the reaping position. And I'm going to remove the time in between. And I'm going to cause a day of inheritance to release in its stead. I'm going to cause you to freely reap. See, reap Someone else did the sowing. Someone else built it. You're not coming in to build the house. You're coming in to inherit. This is called inheritance. There are different measures of provision in the body of Christ. There's different ways that God blesses. God can take a gift that you have. He can take your education. You can get a good job. You can get a gift. You can have witty inventions. You can sow and reap. I've done this for years. We can sit up and tell you, like, that operation works. If you've never done that, you don't know what you're missing. It's just amazing. I mean, I can't tell you how many times God would just say, what do you have? He said, give that to me. I'm like, that's all I have. He goes, I'm not asking for anything else. But to watch God come through time and time again, and how the operations, actually our whole church was built off that in the beginning of the provisionary model. And that's always going to be part. And then there's this new thing. You'll start there. You end there. It's where he's bringing us all into the day of inheritance where we reap freely. It's a concept that's difficult when we've all worked all our whole life for everything. It's a concept that's difficult to believe that God can have us reap generationally where we did not sow. In other words, the sower goes and stands and he just reaps instead of sows. Say, I want to reap. That's what he was doing with the children of Israel as soon as they walked through that gate. As an inheritor. God will end his church with inheritor heirs. That's what this church is about. It may have taken a lifetime to get there, but once you're there, everything we do there, you can do more in a day than we did all our life. Everything we do in that realm, more can get done in a single hour than 1,000 hours combined. Because God's moving us to the reaping field. It's not about cities and homes. It's about inheriting. It's about walking into the enemy's territory and said, this is no longer yours. That I am a possessor of the gate of the enemy now. I'm a possessor of heaven now. I'm a possessor of the earth. And you will obey what I say. It's about standing and commanding and the earth yielding. It's a glorious day because it's the day of the manifestation of the sons of God where the earth yields. Amen. So in this prayer model, the Lord recently, he started doing something. When we get like in the right hand of God, and I would go and stand in the Mount of Transfiguration or go sit down with a crown. He would teach me certain things about how to go and sit in a place that's already done or go stand in a place that's done. Him who's justified, to him he's glorified. Can you accept the fact that I've already glorified you? Can you accept the fact that you're a purchased possession and that in me it's already done because you are my body? And I brought you into the day of the resurrection. Can you accept the fact that you are complete in me? Can you accept the fact that you are seated together with me in heavenly places? Can you accept the fact that my glory that I have with the Father now is your glory too? That I have given you my glory. Can you accept there are certain things that are already done before you ever begin? Can you accept the fact that the hands do finish? Your very calling chapter, the hands finish. So there's these, all these realms that were done. And he goes, and he started just teaching me different times. He goes, and he shifted something. I'm just sharing with you because I'm going to, what I believe the actual absolute master key to bring the kingdom of heaven into the earth. He said that from the time you step into the door, he goes, I want you to stand in front of every place you're speaking from. Just like we did, I'm going to lose a few, it's okay. Just like we did in the face of God, like when God took Abraham, he said, walk before my face. And literally, as we said so many times, he took Abraham's hand and he says, thy name was Abraham. Abram, thy name has been Abraham. He literally said that. Where was God speaking to Abraham from? not where he was in Genesis 17. He spoke to him way down the line. He said, kings have come out of your loins. The first king was Saul. The first great king was David. That was way out in front of him. But he said, kings have come out of your loins. So God was taking him for a trip in the Creator. He was taking a trip. Oh, he was tripping. He was tripping. So God took him out in front to the place where it actually happened. Because God inhabits eternity, right? And he would speak like that was done. Right there. Not going to happen. And Paul caught that. He says, I have made thee. And I want you to get this. I've made thee a father of many nations. Say, I've made thee. Now, father of many nations, Romans 4 specifically said he was speaking of Christ. So any nation, tongue, or tribe that was born again in Christ, Abraham became the father of many nations. So when he said, I made thee, where was God standing when he made him a father of many nations? Past Christ. Still doing, still going, say still going. Everyone say still going. And the Bible said God confirmed the covenant that day. Because Abraham witnessed Christ and saw him. He's manifest. He saw the one all the promises were to. I made thee a father of many nations. Everyone who comes out of this seed, you're a father too. So what's the point here? When God's speaking from this position, it's the way he does things. And we've been in this a couple years now because he was starting to train. But then a couple of months ago, he said, I want you, from the time you step through that door, I want everything to be, I want you to stand in front, speak in your language. He said, past tense. But I want you to be in front of everything you're saying. I want you to stand in front of the circumstance. I want you to stand in front of the battle. I want you to stand in front of where you are. What do you mean by that? I want you to stand in front. I am the righteousness of God. How do you feel when you make mistakes in the earth and you stand and say, I am the righteousness of God? If I can stand in me with all the mistake-prone life I had, then I'm constantly reminded of who I am. Does that make sense? Or I can go back further and stand in with all the mistakes I made and just be showered in what? Guilt, shame, or condemnation. You see that? So I can identify with past, even present, not perfect, but in Christ, perfect. In Christ, the righteousness of God. In Christ, forever perfected. In Christ, already done. In Christ, already complete. Right? So he said, I want you to stand with me and see and agree with who you are in me, and always, whatever you're saying, be in front. In other words, I am the righteousness of Christ. Father, I thank you in that, and I started praying like that in that day. It was like it already happened. You see that? In that day, I was translated out of darkness into your marvelous light. In the natural, I've been translated anywhere. But in the spirit, I was. So it was really weird at first because I had to get this shift down. It was so strange. I'm teaching you something that's going to absolutely melt mountains in your life. In that day, you brought me to stand. You took away the filthy garments. You clothed me in the great I am. In that day, you gave me a new robe. What am I doing? I'm not standing. When I say in that day, I'm looking back. And I'm speaking an event that I see that's already done. So in essence, what's happened, I'm not way, way back here in my past. Because I'm promising you, you're going to get nowhere running around your past. You might need to forgive and release some things. I'm not talking about that. But to dwell on your mistakes, you'll get nowhere. To dwell in your present, you're not going to get anywhere. Because in your present has already been dictated by all your thoughts combined. And the circumstances of life have already positioned where you are. If you don't like where you are, you've been positioned by circumstance. You're not going to change because you want to get up and go work it out. Just do it. And in the kingdom of God, that won't work. But what you can do is fast forward and grab a word. Say, grab a word. Go grab a word of of reality of the kingdom. It's not face of circumstance reality, but face of God reality. It shifts over into what God said. I tell you, God likes it when you agree with Him. Even without faith, it's impossible. God likes it when you agree. Because something about human nature, we like to go wallow, and we think we wallow around here and do all this and throw the fits and the self-pity that somehow that's going to get God's attention. It will when you're a little child in the spirit, but when it's time to grow up, He's not going to sit there and come baby you all your life. He wants you to grow and stand. He wants you to get over here and stand in something that's finished. I don't feel like it. Of course you don't. It's not about what you feel. It's about what He's done. He's already made me an inheritor. There's a place in here. He's made me a king. There's a place in here. He finished me. That I don't have all the imperfections of that other person back there. There's a place in here. He buried that old man. That's what the Jordan was about. You're moving in the face of God when you bury the old man. There's a place in here I'm forever perfected in righteousness. And when I learned to stand in that day, He forever perfected me. What I'm doing is I'm kind of looking at myself in a time lapse, if I can explain it to you. And I'm seeing what He did. Because in His, where He lives, He already did all this. Isn't it awesome to serve a God that's 10,000 years in front of you? He's a million years in front of us! I'll just take 1 year. Regardless, He's in front. He'll also come and do the lovey-dub-dub if you need Him back over here in the self-pity tub. He'll do that for you. But that's not going to make you an heir. Then He'll invite you into His great love. And then He'll invite you into His heart that's finished. See, the men like Enoch, there are people in any generation, they're going to transcend their generation. The David, the Abrahams, the Enochs, they're going to go on into something that they see. And they're going to go grab it and say, this is actually who I am. And here's what happened. I first started doing this, like anything you do, it's a little weird, a little mechanical. But then something started shifting. And what I noticed, that's my first clue. Just so you know. What I noticed was that when I would do this, the normal things I was contending with in prayer, atmospheres, I wasn't contending with them anymore. I'm like, where'd all that go? I'm like, the stuff that I would normally have to deal with and getting through, you know, because I'm trying to get through and get in. Everyone say, get in, get through, get. It wasn't there. I wasn't focused on getting in because I already was in. My focus had shifted. I don't know if you're ready for this message yet, but I'm giving it to you anyway. Just look at it as the land to come, praise God. But something shifted where I was, because I was out front, I wasn't dealing with stuff. He goes, that's because, I said, why is it I don't have that same stuff? He goes, because you're not standing in the same place. You were trying to get me to do something. Now you're just entering and standing in what I already did. It is a whole difference. The quicker you learn to do this, the faster you're going to get breakthrough. And so start doing this, and it's really fluid. This last Tuesday, it was flowing like honey. The whole thing is like, it seems like past tense, but with Him, it's just present. It's just where He is. It's like, hey, this is who we are. Get used to it. Get used to the fact that I've already done this and perfected you. Would you rather go stand in a place that's finished or go try to fix everything the rest of your life to get to a finished place? All it is a shift in your belief system, but you have to see it. If you don't see it, you won't stand there. You have to know He that cometh to God must first believe that He is. You've got to know that's who you are and then stand in it. And then what happens, and then I'm going to have Catherine share something. So what happened was, I was standing here. As you stand here long enough, what happens, you're not standing where you are anymore. Guess what happens? Here's the mystery of the kingdom. This is it. I'm telling you, it's it. This realm over here called the earth. Sorry, y'all are in earth territory. we'll just call you all kingdom. From this pillar forth, earth realm, it starts following you. It can't follow you if you're not out front. Get your faith out front. Intercessors, it's time to shift the way you pray. It's time to stop praying the away, start doing these things. All of a sudden, this realm is commanded to follow where you are. Now God has someone in agreement with the thoughts of his creative realm. He has someone that's standing in the thoughts of his, speaking from the creative realm that's done. Now he can order the earth to bow down and obey. Let's give God glory! Okay, Catherine, come up here. So we were praying this morning. She was sharing something because the Lord encountered her this morning.
Good morning, everyone. This morning when I had the privilege to pray together with Pastor LaRue, so you heard how he teaches us how to pray. That's how he prays in the morning. And all of a sudden, I feel there's a light. It's a light on my right hand. And that light is so real. And then I start to feel the presence of Jesus. And that presence is so tangible. Like what Sharon shared earlier, she felt the tangible of the Father's love this morning. I felt the tangible of Jesus Christ this morning. That's so real. It's real. It's more real than any of you. Because I feel the light, and then I felt that warmth of him. I think at the energy that he carries. It's like you sit by the fireplace. That's kind of in the cold winter. That's how comfortable and how warm that feeling was. And he stayed there, I would say, as we prayed for about an hour, he stayed there for almost an hour. I feel his presence. And in the middle of when Pastor LaRue prayed for the Jericho, the falling of Jericho, all of a sudden there is an angel with like a soldier's, yes, like the breastplate, and I can feel the sword, I can feel the helmet. And that angel was like a gold, yellow gold color, completely yellow gold color, standing on my right, on my left. So now I have Jesus on my right and that gold angel on my left. I would say that is, I still, up to this point, I still feel that warmth on my right arm. That's how it's like so real. It's so real. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. And so,
and I also feel there's, this church has a calling. Yes, we, you know, the calling of the, like a forerunners of, sower and if, yeah. This church also, because when Pastor LaRue was praying for this nation, make declaration that the presence of the Lord manifested. It's like the fire gets bigger, stronger. That presence of the Lord, like, it made him happy. So when we pray for this nation, the Lord is happy. I think that's our calling.
Yes. Praise God. So when he came in and he stood the whole time, when she was saying that, the Lord spoke to me. He goes, I came here to watch over. It's like the teacher coming over to observe what's been taught. He was like, he was there observing because he goes, and he spoke this. He goes, I authored this faith. Man did not author this. I did. The Lord said that. And he goes, I'm coming like a teacher would come to observe the progress of the student. He was there watching over the whole prayer time. It was really powerful, very profound. Because he's authored something and he's watching over, but we're coming in. The whole point of this is we're coming in as the sower now. We're standing in reaper territory and to freely reap from the position. And the faster you learn this, the faster you'll stop working for all this and laboring and toiling and go stand in what's already done. The quicker you learn to stand, you can take years off your life. You can do things with your faith that took people 50, 60 years to do. You can enter too quick because it's a generation that's been given the open door to come and stand in reaper territory. And what I'm speaking to you and how to do this and learning this concept, it's going to revolutionize your prayer life. And you're going to start seeing mountains move and God start activating things. This is why he moved us into the Jordan the other day. It's why he moved us through that door. It's signification of movement now. That the body is moving. Why? It initiated the earth to start following. And we're only 2 months into this prayer, and I'll never pray another way now that he's taught me this. Because I know how to pray from the finished realm now. Face of God, time habitation, learning how to stand in the realm that's finished and sow there. Sow your time, your efforts, your skills into a place that's already done. Give your energy to the finished work. We love you. God bless you.